Okay, I think we'll call the pre-conference committee meeting to order. This is on House Bill 43. Pat, can you bring us up to speed and tell us how many amendments do we have to consider? I'm aware of three.
Mr. Chairman, there are three. One that Representative McLaren said that he would sponsor, and so I'll hand that one out. That's this one. That's 07. So, if you guys want it. And then 06 is Senator Casey's. And that's, so 07 would allow the first section to remain in. 06, if both 161 and 175 are voided, then it just voids the whole act because of the title concern. And then the one that I just got, and we're waiting on the editors to approve, is from, as I understand it, the department to clarify some language.
Is that number 8?
And that's number 8.
Okay.
Department being what?
Department of Labor and Industry.
Oh, it's the Department of Labor and Industry. Okay.
Oops, and I'm sorry.
Probably tomorrow, so it's fine.
607.
Okay. And then, Pat, we also need to approve the amendments that was put on in Senate Business and Labor. Isn't that correct? Because that's why we're in conference, because those were not approved by the House.
Well, and that's one of either 7 or 6. But, or the only reason, as I understand it, that the Senate amendments were not approved is that you needed the coordination language.
Right.
Because when we were first involved with House Bill 43, 161 was on the table. 175 hadn't made it across. And 175 could have contained the coordination language between House Bill 43 and 175. And then the comments were, well, not going to happen because of the way it was balanced.
And the Senate amendments are on the bill at this point.
So right, the Senate amendments, as I understand it, nobody had a problem with the actual Senate amendments
right.
to the bill. It was that we needed
the basis
coordination.
For my do not concur was so that we could put the coordinating language
right.
in. Okay. I thought your amendments were fine. So.
Right, and I understood that too. I just don't, from a procedural standpoint, in fact, do we need to put these Senate amendments on, or are they on?
They're on.
They're on, okay.
They're on. And right. and then and that's the reason it's a pre-conference, is that the coordination instruction was not part of the amendment, so... And it has to be.
Okay.
You can do anything. Field marijuana.
That would not fit the title of the bill. Still have a little bit of limitation.
So then I guess the question is which coordination language we like, if we like 6 or 7, is that the debate right now?
I think that's right.
Right.
And I think number six is just more inclusive than that, right?
Yes.
Number 6 voids the entire bill, whereas number 7 just eliminates 2 through 8.
Right. And the reason for 6 was that if you consider the bill to be a medical marijuana bill, then revising the drug and alcohol testing is going beyond the scope of the title. Even though the title does include drug and alcohol testing, so it sort of depends on your approach to it. Is that if you feel that it's a medical marijuana bill, and you're saying that 161 and 175 are to be voided, which are the medical marijuana bases, then you would do the whole bill. If you feel that the title is such that it allows drug and alcohol testing as well as medical marijuana, then you would just eliminating section 7 through 8. And then if you decide to adopt the 4308, then we also need to spruce up the one amendment that references section 7 through 8, because it would no longer be section 7 through 8.
My opinion, I like to keep one in. I kind of like the one that keeps one in. I'm not sure whose that was, but. That would be 07?
Right.
Yeah.
Then I guess I could, is there any other comment?
I'm thinking different.
But, why are you thinking different?
Because I think this, in my opinion, was about medical marijuana. If we hadn't had medical marijuana, this first section wouldn't have come along. I think the first section was to included because of the medical marijuana. I don't think the first section would have been introduced and discussed on its own.
But it's a good law. That's the question.
It would be. Basic intent is to treat medical marijuana like you would alcohol in the workplace. Well, I appreciate that, but there's also an expansion of who we're allowing to do the testing program, and that's if we want to reduce that expansion, and that would be on page 2, lines either 5 and 6 or just 6. That's the expansion I don't like. And Senator Moore had some concern about the driving of the motor vehicle, and we talked about that in committee. So
if we just took out 6, 5, which, I mean the driving a motor vehicle, that did that, but involving instruction or supervision of minors, then you want somebody that you have heartburn with that?
I a little bit, because it is an expansion, and I think those things can be handled in contract negotiations when there's a contract available.
I think the issue is if we need the changes to Section 1 with regard to alcohol, isn't it? Because that's what we're talking about. Section 1 would only stay in if I-161 passes, so med marijuana is out. So do we want to make those changes in current labor law with regard to alcohol, I think is the question.
I'm with Tom on this point. I think that's an expansion that really did speak to the medical marijuana, and I don't think we need it on its own.
If we want to, I'm happy with one staying in the bill if we take out line 6 on page 2.
I think we can do that.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept amendment number 004307, which would keep section 1 in the bill with a caveat that on page 2, line 6, be stricken from section 1, that be C. On the definition section.
Okay. Is everybody clear on the motion?
You got that, Pat?
Yes. And then we would renumber.
Yes. Do the relettering.
Any further discussion?
Question.
I think we can take a voice vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt House Bill 43 as amended.
Okay. Further amendments?
I move, Mr. Chairman, that we add HB 004308.APM amendment.
Okay. Members of the body, I was working with the Department of Labor on this. What this is some language that I think alleviates some of the concerns brought with the opposition to the bill, that the concern was that the caveat that in the bill that says if, and the only way I can explain it is through an example, is if a guy with chronic pain decides to use medical marijuana due to an injury that he had, not caused by medical marijuana, injury in the workplace, say he's a truck driver, he's using medical marijuana for pain, he says, I can't drive a truck anymore because my boss won't let me, therefore I have a permanent partial disability. And this bill says, we're not going to allow that. We need to, you can take Tylenol or something else where you can still drive a truck and move it. The concern with the opposition was a misunderstanding of that caveat of the bill, and the substantive part of this is to basically phrase that to alleviate some of the concerns as far as how far that part of it would go.
Okay with it, Tom?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, there are some changes on the amendments from the editors I just heard about. So if you can wait just a little bit, she'll bring those up and just to double check. Sorry. I said I didn't get these early enough to get them edited. So. And yep. My inbox is too full.
Do we have anything else then? Just once we do these two, we're done, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
While we're waiting, could I ask Cheryl Wood a question? Cheryl, I remember in the first hearing you were concerned about the language in Section 1 for local governments. Were you ultimately satisfied by the language that was here?
Yes, it's
Mr. Chairman, while we're waiting, I'm a little embarrassed to ask this. Can we have someone from the Work Comp State Fund talk to us about what this bill does in terms of, I think I know what it does, but I just want to be able to explain it better, what this bill does in terms of marijuana and alcohol on Work Comp cases. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, without objection.
We are, you're up to bat. You want the question again?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Basically, there's three different components with regard to this bill in dealing with medical marijuana. First of all, it doesn't affect the alcohol stuff. That remains the same. The first thing it does is it identifies current practice, which is an insurer does not have to pay for medical marijuana or the paraphernalia. The second thing it does is it identifies that if the major contributing cause of an accident is due to a person's impairment as a result of the use of medical marijuana, that claim can be denied. It's a defense to the claim, just like with alcohol. The third thing that it does is it identifies that benefits cannot be enhanced due to a worker's use of medical marijuana, meaning somebody doesn't get a greater entitlement by virtue of their use than they would without that use. The most common example is a truck driver who can't drive with THC in his system that he's medically able to perform and vocationally qualified to perform, that job would still be considered in the worker's job pool, and it would not cause that job to be thrown away and greater benefits to be paid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Kevin. That's exactly what I needed.
Do we want to, Pat, ask if you think we want to recess for 5-10 minutes and everybody's busy?
Let's see if that's right.
Everybody got a deck of cards?
Well, I just emailed, so I think she should be able to come up right away.
Okay. Give her a couple minutes. She's
yeah.
20 after all.
They would have to be tested, Kevin. They'd have to be a test and all of that. How the employer would have to prove that with a drug test, then, how, or if they, on that last part, if the major cause was the impairment, or I mean, some of that isn't with alcohol anyway, where it gets out of their system quite quickly, or marijuana where it stays. I'm a little confused how that proof, burden of proof would be.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Braun with the State Fund. The way that you would establish this proof is the same way that you do with alcohol, and what it boils down to is expert testimony. You have to prove, A, that it's the major contributing cause of the accident, and as a result, that's where it comes down. It's experts that you have to hire to establish that proof. In the past, we've consulted with people at the State Crime Lab in order to try to create that proof. If there isn't any testing, it's going to be extremely difficult.
Kevin, just a general question. While we're waiting, prior to medical marijuana, would any trace of marijuana be proof of impairment? Before medical marijuana was legal, if a guy wrecked his truck on the job and he tested positive for marijuana, was the burden of proof lower because you didn't have to
Mr. Chairman, no. The proof is basically the same. We still would have to establish major contributing cause prior to this bill's consideration, as well as after. So even though a person had tested positive for marijuana THC in their blood as a result, you know, in the course of an accident, even though that test was positive, we still would have to establish that they were impaired and that was the cause of the accident, both before and after.
And, Mr. Chairman, if you, you know, if you want to give license to do the technical changes, I think you could probably still go. Latest email is, where are you? So she hasn't left yet.
Is everybody all right with that? Okay. So the motion on the floor is to pass the amendment of 4308. Any further discussion? Take a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 43 as amended.
Any further discussion on House Bill 43 as amended?
With the caveat that we allow the technical amendments in the effort.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Question.
Okay. Question's been called. Take the tie voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And those will be coordinated and combined.
Right.
So, okay.
Any further business before the committee?
Webster, we can leave.